Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1.
And I'll get wired up. That's my quartet. I like that. Good singing. It is a wonderful upbringing. I really do love singing that brings praise to God and blessing to the listener. You know, and some of these old hymns, I love them. I love them. Anyway, I'm not going to, we'll just read a few verses. I want to read you my text. Chapter 1, look at verse 25. Colossians 1, 25. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fellowship of believers. We thank you, Lord, for like minds. We thank you, Lord, for living in the knowledge of your great grace and mercy and love. We thank you that you came for us. You saved our souls and changed our lives and given us a fellowship and an opportunity as we have in this wonderful nation you've given us. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless us. And Lord, bring revival. Bring revival to our nation. Bring revival to our country. Bring revival to our church. Lord, we ask your mercy upon this message. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch lives inside this room and those that are hearing by internet. We ask you, Lord, to touch people's lives with your word. Save souls. Change lives. Give us revival. Draw us close. Forgive us where we failed you. Give us help, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have long loved this verse. Just such a beautiful verse and such a clear message on how you can get a blessing by that. And that's verse 27, especially to me, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's a mystery. You know what a whole lot of people are doing today? They're listening to what they can do so that God will bless them. They're listening to entertainment. They're listening to jokes. They're listening to a whole lot of things, like trying to keep the law, trying to do something else, or whatever. There's all sorts of things going out there. But that's what he said right here was, the mystery which among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not just a matter of joining a church. It's not just a matter of being baptized. It's not just a matter of turning over a new leaf. That said, Christ in you. Wow. What a mystery. You wouldn't think about it as you might be studying the Old Testament. You might be studying the history of nations or the history of Judaism or whatever. It might not come to your mind. We're talking about the inside of you. Remember the problem he had with all of the Pharisees? They cleaned the outside. They didn't worry much about the inside. They didn't worry about their heart. They didn't worry about their thoughts. They didn't worry about the sins of the mind. And they thought they were pleasing God because they walked to church on Sunday, or because they dropped an offering in an offering plate, or they helped a little old lady across the street, or maybe some other something. And their idea is, now God is on my side. If I do these things, these certain things, you know, if I go to Sunday school every Sunday, and you get perfect attendance for all the year, that's a great thing. No, it's really not. Unless God turns inside you and changes something. If you come to God and you think by joining a church or being baptized or quitting some vice that you might have, that it was going to please God enough to get you a real step up, you're mistaken. God wants the inside of you to be right. And that's what he's talking about here. And that verse 27, a mystery. Now, the Bible's full of mysteries, but this one is a mystery, and he tells it to you very plainly. It could be part of the mystery was that God was going to bless the Gentiles. To the Jews that were looking for the Messiah to come, they weren't thinking about the Gentiles. They were thinking about their nation. They were thinking about being exalted and being lifted up and being delivered from the slavery that they had been put under by being conquered by various different tribes and people. And all of a sudden we have here, he's talking about a mystery, and the mystery is that among the Gentiles, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What do you have? What do you have in you? Christ. Christ in you. You didn't just join the church, or if that's all you did, you don't have anything. You repented of your sins, and you wanted forgiveness, and you believed that the Lord was resurrected from the dead. And carrying some of these things, maybe believe the Bible was the Word of God, or this was you doing the will of God, whatever. And God went inside you and changed you, and you know it. If you never had a change in your attitude towards God and your attitude towards sin, you probably haven't been saved. God changes. I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. But when I got saved, I got changed. He didn't make me perfect. He made me perfect before him, but he didn't make me experientially perfect. I still had to fight my battles and my addictions and my habits and a lot of things that I'd gotten wrong by taking the wrong attitude in life and trying to live for the world as it was. And of course, those things take a lot of time. And yet, Christ was looking to change something on the inside, and he did it.
Thank you, Lord.
He did it. You know, how can you tell that maybe you and your girlfriend aren't getting along so well? Young man? Well, I'll tell you what. When she decides not to go around with you and doesn't want to talk with you, you can figure it out. Now, some of us really get dissatisfied when we're young because we've got all these dreams up here. I'm going to go for you. The guys, oh, that's going to be my girl. Woo! She won't look at you twice. Well, then you know she hadn't got the same attitude. What happens to us if when we have in our hearts the wrong attitude towards God and the wrong attitude towards the things of God, and you really don't like the people of God? It's down on the inside of you, isn't it? You need the inside change. You don't just need to get a haircut and brush your teeth and take a bath. You need to get the inside of you changed where you can meet with God and fellowship with God and get the blessing of God. Now what he's talking about here is on the inside. What is this mystery? It's a tremendous mystery. A mystery is something that's hid. People don't notice it. Don't think about it. The mystery is Christ in you. That's the mystery. Now, it may have been that he was first talking about just the Gentiles, that the mystery is to the Jews. They don't understand. You mean God is going to enter the Gentiles? No, God is the God of Israel. We're His God. We give His word. We've prepared all these years. We've walked in the fellowship of God. We've been blessed by God and whatever. But there's a mystery. All of a sudden, and it hit the apostles pretty hard, if you can read in the book of Acts. Hit them pretty hard. Gentiles? You mean, well, they gotta become Jews first. They gotta be circumcised. They gotta go through all the rites. They gotta do a lot of different things. No, they finally came up, and these apostles had to have a great big meeting down in Jerusalem or somewhere, and they had to decide, do Gentiles have to be circumcised and become Jews before they can become Christians? And Peter, of course, went into Cornelius' household, and God Almighty showed him. And so Peter could stand up and say, if God gives them the Holy Spirit just like He did us, how can we say no? And that opened the door. You do not have to be a Jew to become a Christian. And the Gentiles, this thing spread. And so lots of places where Paul went. When Paul was out preaching, the first place he went to preach was the Jewish synagogue. Because, you see, the Jews, knowing the Bible, should know some of the promises of the Messiah. They should know some of the things that are going to happen and the promises that are coming in these prophecies. And so they were prepared. They were a prepared people with their thinking and their knowledge of a invisible God, the great I Am. And so he won some of them to the Lord, but then there were Gentiles listening to his messages. And these Gentiles said, speak to us. Come on. I want to hear the same message. That's a wonderful message. And so he preached to them, and all of a sudden Gentile churches began to grow up, and the Jews had to put up with it. They were not used to it. They had to put up with it. That's the mystery. But there's another mystery in this, that it's on the inside. It's not the outside what you do. It's not the clothes that you wear. It's not the hairstyle. It's not a lot of outside things that we look at today to distinguish ourselves from somebody else or to be in with an in crowd. Every once in a while, it just really tickles me. You ever see these guys that walk around with their pants down about to fall off? I think that's about the stupidest style that you could get. You know? And you look at it, and they're proud to wear them. They're proud to wear these things. They said, Matt, you got a butt crack, excuse me. Right. Stupid. Yeah. Downright stupid. But not to them. What do they think about it? Oh, I'm a big dude, man. I'm somebody. I'm a tough guy. How about tattooing your face? You ever seen anybody with tattoos on their face? Of course you have. Sort of hard to get away from the police that way. You ever thought about that? You sort of stand out. It's the inside that God is dealing with, and the inside God's going to deal with. And in the book of Colossians, there's a tremendous message about it. Anyway, this is the mystery. That the Gentiles, first of all, could get saved without becoming Jews. And there's another mystery. The mystery that it's inside of us. What's inside of us? Christ. Christ. It's not, I just got a new set of rules. Or I just got a new set of opinions. No. What this says is, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is, this is the mystery, Christ in you. That's your hope of glory.
Praise you.
You think maybe you can be good enough to fulfill the law? I don't think so. You think maybe you can give enough good works, or you think you can control your mind and that your natural passions don't get you in trouble? No, I don't think so. You know what I think? I think if you don't have Christ in you, you don't have a chance. Not a chance. Not even on the outside. All sorts of things out there in this world But bless your heart, if you don't have Christ, you don't have salvation. So the message is here, and I look at Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Wow. I've been studying this book 62 years now. And you know something? It still is a mystery. There's still so much in this wonderful book that I haven't even started to get the load on. You know something? It's a wonderful thing to see what God has done. I was watching TV the other day, and it was about Africa. And it talked about the Sahara Desert, whatever, just one of those kind of shows. Isn't it amazing what God has done? And in the most barren places in the world, there's life. And that things there, these little beetles or whatever they were, they could come out in the sun in the Sahara, but they couldn't last but 10 minutes. Or they'd die, so they had to go out and do their thing real quick and go back. Wow. Some plants have to have a little bit of water to think, and they just look like they're dead. They're just dead. And the little water comes on them after a year, 2 years. They get a rain. And it comes on them, and they just blossom right away, and put out their seeds right away, and drop their seeds right away. Then they blow away. God's got so many things out here. I'm amazed. I'm fascinated with what God has done in this creation and in this world. Don't tell me it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. There's a great big mind out there. A lot bigger than your little 3.5-pound one. You know something? He knows so much more than you. Have you ever figured out that if you get in a controversy with God, you're wrong? Has that ever dawned on your... I know some people that doesn't dawn on them. Some of you are always right. Aren't you? Now, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands, but you know who you are. You're always right. You're never wrong. Everybody else is dumb but you. You know what I figured out? Somewhere along the way, I got something figured out. This book's right, and I'm wrong. This book's right. That's my authority. And I'm wrong. Any place I go against it, any place that I don't pay attention, I made a great big mistake. Because the God's Word, He knows what He's doing. A church here in Texas got on a big deal, and they were trying to upgrade women in their churches. And they said, we took a vote, and wives do not have to obey their husbands. What'd God say?
That's right.
You think you know more about marriage than God? Well, you don't. Now, these wives have a good way of getting their way. All of them do. All of you wives do. You know you've got him. You got him, boy, by the ear. You know how to just punch his buttons. Oh, man, you're not being pushed around too much. No, listen. If God says something, it's right. If it fits the rest of the Bible, not that you got one verse and it doesn't fit anything else in the Bible, but if you got a verse and a doctrine, and it's things that are in the Word of God and over and over and over again, and your doctrine is not contradictory, you got the truth. Pay attention when you get the truth, because otherwise you're wrong. You want to be wrong? I've been wrong so many times. I sure wish I hadn't been wrong so many times. And it was sometimes when my wife was right. That's really tough. I told you so. I told you so. I knew that was wrong. I knew that was wrong. No, I really was a sweet lady. Billy said she really wasn't a sweet lady. She was a German through and through. She was a hard disciplinarian. No doubt about it. We got something here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want to think about that just a little bit today. Look at Colossians at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or that word means suitable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All right, now what is God getting into us for? Well, look what it says. Give thanks. Every place in this book you ought to be giving thanks.
Amen.
You don't thank the Lord enough. Amen?
Amen?
Oh me. You don't thank the Lord enough. Giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet or suitable to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You're not just a rough old person, and you come to God, and now God's putting up with you. No. He's picked you out to have an inheritance. And what kind of an inheritance? The saints in light. Praise God. That's a privileged people. We're going to be with the saints. And how about the saints in light? Wow. All of a sudden, that's got a lot more meaning to it. It's got a lot more riches to it, a lot more blessing. I love it with all those men up here singing. That was strong. That was strong and a very good song coming out there. Praise God. You get into a crowd sometimes,
yeah,
and you can be blessed. You can be lifted. How about the saints in light? Wow. One time I went to an evangelistic meeting in Dallas, Texas, and it was in an auditorium of 10,000 preachers. 10,000 Baptist preachers in that congregation. And they began to sing, and I began to cry. I was in the nosebleed seats. Way back up there. But the roar of those words to that old gospel hymn just rose up, and it hit me emotionally and spiritually. I thought, wow, what a blessing to be with 10,000 preachers of the gospel. That's something. I tell you what, I'm going to be with the saints in light.
Amen.
Now why? Because I'm good? No, I'm not that good. Why? Because I'm smart? No, I'm not that smart. Because Christ is in me. Christ is in me. He said here in Acts chapter 26 verse 18, he's giving his reason for preaching and whatever. And he says to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wow. Does that sound like a pretty good blessing? Does that sound like something worth looking for? An opportunity in the future, that's where I'm going to be. Think about what that's going to be like. I won't even have all of my own foolishness around me. I'll be changed by the grace of God. And I'll be with my eyes open, in light, no longer under the power of Satan, but under God's power. My sins are forgiven, and I got an inheritance. Praise the Lord. Wonderful thought there. 1 Peter 2:9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. How about a peculiar people? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Reason why God drops down inside of you, takes over your personality, takes over your spirit, guides you some way, shows you a conscience that certain things are wrong and I shouldn't be doing them, lets you repent. I've spent my life repenting. How long you been saved? Well, I bless your heart. If you're right with God and you try to stay right with God, you're going to keep on repenting. You're going to keep on saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have thought it. And God restores you. Forgiveness. Wow. Look at verse 13. In Colossians chapter 1. What kind of blessings do you have? What good is the church to you? What good is the Bible to you? What good are Christian friends to you? What good are pastors? He said, hath delivered us. Delivered from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Some of you had a real tough time with Satan. He tore up your life, tore up your family, tore up some of your future. And you came to God, and all of a sudden you've got a God. You've got a deliverance from the power of darkness. You've got a new Lord. He's Jesus. Not the devil. He's Jesus. Look at verse 14. Now you got delivered in verse 13. Verse 14. In whom? That's Jesus. Our last word in verse 13 is son of his dear son. In whom, that's who he's talking to, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You might say, Brother Kincaid, you admit that you're a sinner. You admit that you don't know everything. You admit that you do things wrong sometimes. Well, you know what I've got? Redemption.
Amen.
By having Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, and having Jesus indwelt in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. By having Jesus right there, you know what I have? I have redemption. And a lot of other things too. This man, Jesus, Hebrews 10:12, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He's not up there offering sacrifices every week or every day or every time you need it. It says right there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, never to be repeated. Never to be repeated. Don't need to be repeated. Sat down on the right hand of God. Wonderful, wonderful blessing. Okay, look at verse 15. This is a very interesting verse and really ties in with what I saw and I used as a text tonight, the mystery, Christ in you. Well, look at verse 15. Talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. You read in the Old Testament, and nobody could see God. God was invisible. He was known as the great I Am, or Jehovah. But he's known as I Am. You know what he tell Moses? I thought it was a little tough on Moses. I think he had a rough road to hoe. Have 2 million people with a mixed multitude? I can't hardly handle 100. Had to get 4 or 5 kids. Yeah. You know what? He had a tough road to hoe. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Wow, we have an inheritance in the saints in light. And he says he's the image of the invisible God. You look in the Old Testament, and you will find different verses that will tell you something about God. But God is not looked upon. In fact, Moses, just seeing the glory of the behind of God as God passes, his face shone for years. God was not seen. Who is Jesus Christ? That's where you see God. You want to know what the personality of God is? Take a look at Jesus. You want to know how God thinks? Think what Jesus thinks. He says he's speaking the words of the Father. Wow. This is big, Christ in you. Amen. That is big. In John chapter 1, verse 18, we studied this last month, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What you see in Jesus is the declaration of God. You've got the personality of God. You've got the judgment of God. You've got the love of God. You've got the salvation of God. And it's all in one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom we preach, verse 28. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What are we preaching? Why in the world are we preaching? So that you could come to know this man and this man could come into your life and bring a change to you. You need the change. You may not know that you need the change. I don't think I knew it. I knew I wasn't good, but I thought everybody else was about like me. But I needed a change, and I really didn't know that I needed that change, except when God came in and changed me, I looked back upon him, and yes, I needed the change. Some of you may be sitting in this room right today. You need God to come in and break in upon you and change you. Amen or oh me. Rooted and built up in him, strength established in the faith, you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The Bible is full of us thanking him. We're taught to thank him. We ought to be thankful all the time. Really. You have never received all that you deserved. That's true. Certainly true of me. I've received so many rich blessings and so much kindness, so much forgiveness. How could I ever be anything but thankful? And I am thankful. I really am thankful. I'm thankful that God broke in on my life and he came inside and he won't let me rest sometimes. Every once in a while we preach something, make somebody mad. Don't worry too much about that. If they get mad, they can't give up on it. If they really get mad at you about at the scriptures and what you're preaching, they probably can't quit thinking about it. And it might be a very good thing because they might, because of that, come to Christ, get forgiveness of sins, get saved, get changed, be blessed for the rest of their life. Now, I don't mean you ought to go out to make somebody mad. I really don't do that. I have done it, but I don't do it normally. I want to see people saved. And if you don't preach the truth, they don't have a chance of getting saved. Did you ever think about that? When you're playing games in church, and you're entertaining in church, and you're pleasing everybody in church, you may not be dealing with somebody's sin and their need of a Savior and heaven or hell. And that's exactly what they need. That's what you need. And if you're here without Christ today, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to have Christ come in and change your life. Christ in you, that's your hope of glory. Wow. Look at verse 9. Colossians chapter 2, 9, excuse me. For in him, Christ is the last word in verse 8. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a verse. What a verse. Wow. You understand that? I don't. I believe it. I don't understand it. I believe it. When you look at Jesus, you're seeing the personality of God. Bodily. And the statement that he makes right here is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why did Jesus come? To reveal God to you. Jesus took up a lot of different arguments with the religious people of his day. And you can look at them, and sometimes he made them really mad. They were so mad they wanted to kill him. But you think of that statement there. For in him, Paul is talking here in Colossians chapter 2. He's talking about in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Now look at verse 10. You're complete in him. You don't need anybody but Jesus.
Amen.
You don't need anybody but Jesus. Don't need your mother and your daddy. You don't need your husband and your wife. You don't need your mother, your father. You don't need your son or your daughter. You are complete in him. You don't need the preacher that can preach a certain type of message. You don't need somebody who's got a special doctrine or something. All you need is Christ. And once you have Christ, you have everything. I go before God on a daily basis. I'm not all that holy, religious, or whatever. I don't bow down on my knees, hard to get up. And I don't hold my hands and close my eyes. But I talk to God. You know, he hears me. He's not worried about what I'm doing. Whether I'm driving a car or whether I'm washing my clothes. Or microwaving something to eat. He's not worried about that. But what he is, my friend, he's complete. You know what that means? It means when I need righteousness, I'm not righteous, he's my righteousness. When I need forgiveness, and it's very often I need forgiveness, I make a lot of mistakes. I wish I didn't make any. Every time I make a mistake, it hurts me because I hurt somebody else by my stupid mistake. Don't you? Parents, you never make mistakes raising your kids? Oh, you make mistakes. You do. I make mistakes when I need sanctification. And I don't look particularly sanctified, don't particularly feel sanctified. I am. Christ is my sanctification. Sanctification, forgiveness, wow. All the tremendous blessings. See, you're complete in him. If I have Jesus as the Lord of my life, I don't need anything else to be complete. You're complete in him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Jesus Christ, and Christ is in you. I don't know all the ramifications of that, but boy, it's beautiful. That is something rich to think upon. How good you've got it, Christian. You ought to be thanking God every day. Never get mad at somebody telling you you ought to thank God. You ought to be thanking God more than you ever have. He has provided for everything for you in this salvation that he created. Look down at chapter 3, verse 3. If, that's a big little word. That might be the biggest little word in the English language. If. If ye then be risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you been indwelt by the Spirit of God? Does God live in you? Are you trusting Christ to be your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption, your forgiveness? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Then you ought to be really ashamed of how much time you spend on this life down here. And we spend a lot. If you understand what he's saying here, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We spend way too much time on guns and fishing and dresses and hairdos and new things and whatever. Job after job, toy after toy. Are you risen with Christ? Has Christ come into you, forgiven your sins, killed the old man, raised up the new man, and Christ now lives in you? Why don't you listen to him? He's speaking to you. Why don't you listen to him sometime? Why don't you say, yes, I can? Some of you drop in on church once a year. Some of you come every service we have. Praise God for all of you. And I'm happy for you to come once a year. If you're going to come, it's good to come once a year anyway. You might get a chance. You might have a better chance if you came on a regular basis. You might give the Holy Spirit another shot at your soul and your mind and your heart and your life. You reckon he could make it any better?
Yes.
I think he could. I think Jesus could make your life. He could make your marriage. He could make your kids. He could make your attitude a whole lot better. You don't need a bunch of psychologists and psychiatrists, and I'm not knocking them. I'm sure there are many people that do. You know what most of you need? You just need Jesus in control. Get over a whole lot of things. He says in verse 2, it's a real hard verse to understand. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Any of you investing in eternity? Any of you investing in eternity? Are you passing out any tracts to try to win a soul? Are you mailing out any letters to try to win a soul? Are you inviting people to come hear the gospel with you so maybe a soul could get saved? Wow, there's a lot of things you could do. There's a lot of things, just a lot of things. What Christ couldn't do with you if you would give him leave. Instead of resisting, how about surrendering? How about seeking those things which are above? The way you see things, seek things down here. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. You know what it says in verse 3 of Colossians 3? You're dead. You are dead. Why are you dead? Because Christ died in your place. And you're dead. And Christ lives in you. And that's the greatest blessing your life could possibly have. Christ living in you. Christ controlling your mind. Christ giving you help in the decisions that you make. Christ hearing your prayers. Christ forgiving your sins. And he said they're all forgiven. Look at chapter 3. He said, seek. Now then he says, put on. Verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. How about forbearing one another? Some of you got a short fuse. Forgiving one another. How about forgiving one another? If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I'll every once in a while want to hold a grudge. And then I think, all that God has forgiven me, and I'm going to hold a little grudge if somebody just slighted me or did whatever something to me. Foolish, foolish, foolish. And I have to rebuke myself and ask God to forgive me. God, I've hurt you much more than that person ever hurt me. So they don't like me. Hey, most of the people in the world don't like me. They don't even know me. Those that know me don't like me. That's all right. But I got a few friends that like me. Praise God for that. So a few don't like you. So they say something bad about you. So they insult you. What have you done to Christ? You have ignored him week after week, year after year of your life. You have ignored the conscience that he has in your heart and trying to get some change out of you. Christ is in you. Let him loose. Christ is in you. Let him have his way. Let him speak, give you advice on the things you want to do. Tell you what. He says, above, verse 14, all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Love. My, how we need a lot more love. Even in a family where a husband and a wife love each other, they need a lot more love. Even in a family that has the children and they love the children, they need a lot more love. And between us, for putting up with one another, we need a lot more love. You need some more love. That's what he said. And then he said in verse 15, let the peace of God rule. Why don't you just let God's peace rule in your marriage? Why don't you let God's peace rule in this church? Why don't you let God's peace rule at your work? How about that? You wouldn't be coming home saying, you don't know what happened to me today. Not if you let him rule. Let the peace of God rule. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wow. I believe Paul got a little revelation of a whole lot of things you need. And I need. That we need. We don't need just to come to church and stay the same. We need to come to church and surrender to Christ. We need to let our minds be colored by his word. We need to set our will to obey his will. And we need to try to do his will what little time we have left to do it. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. God sent me to preach the gospel to the lost. I tried to do it. But you know something? You got to listen. You got to pay attention. You got to recognize truth. I've made my choice. You can choose anything. You can choose the professor at the Greek college. You can choose the seminary professor if you want to. You can choose somebody that has got some real strange doctrines. They're out there. They're out there. Or you can choose this old book. I choose this old book. I've changed many things I've done when somebody proved me wrong from this book. Because I believe it. I believe it. I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ with this book I have in my hands. You need the Lord in your life in a big way. I don't care how long you've been saved. Sometimes we need revival. We need something to wake us up. We need something to change some of our laziness. We need something to change our fear of men. We need something to change us so that we walk to please God instead of just want to please ourselves. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Wow. What a statement. To me, it's a vast thing. And I look at God and think, wow, how little I know about him. How little I appreciate how great he is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're not saved, the Bible says he is rich unto all that call upon him. You can find that verse in chapter 10 of the book of Romans, in your New Testament. He's rich to all that call upon him. But you don't have to call. You need to call. If you'll call, he'll change your life. If you'll call, he'll forgive. I don't care how bad your sin was. I've seen some people that came to me and they said, Brother Kincaid, I've just sinned too much. God can't forgive me. No, you don't understand. God can forgive anybody. And God will. He's rich unto all that call upon Him. I don't care how bad you've been. Repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive you. Believe that He'll do it and start living for Him. Christian friend, you need revival. You know how I know? You're not very revived. You notice the Laodicean church? He wouldn't do happy with the lukewarm. Well, you come to church and you're friendly and whatever. That's not hot. It's not cold, okay? It's not cold, but it's not hot. Maybe you better get out of lukewarm, because he said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He does not like timid things. Is he great or is he not great? All the promises big, so big they're unimaginable. Hard to believe. And yet that's what it said. I'm going to take him at his word. We need some repentance and forgiveness and to change our direction and to change our focus. Let's pray. Lord, what a blessing your word is to us. What a blessing that you've indwelt us and you are our righteousness. You are our sanctification. You are our power. You are our forgiveness. And you took the law and nailed it to your cross, delivering us from it. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the move upon our hearts, move upon our minds. Draw us closer to you. Bring us into a revival. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day, and Lord bless you.